Well, before we go any further, I'm going to introduce our guest to you. We are blessed today. We had, many of you might know this, I'm not sure if many do, but some of you do for sure. We had a pastor's luncheon yesterday with our guests, and it was a great time. You know, pastors need building up and strengthening, amen? And we appreciate all of you that were there to volunteer, to help us with that. We appreciate it so very much, amen? And without that help, we couldn't have done it, and we are so grateful. And I believe pastors left here yesterday built up, strengthened, and encouraged in the things of God. Amen? Amen. And so you're going to have an opportunity to meet Matt and Julie Beamer. Some of you, I've introduced them to you by way of video. They've got such a long bio here, biography. I don't know how much I'll read, but I'll just mention to you some things off of my head, first of all, off the top of my head. First of all, they began a church in the UK many years ago, and they pastored that church, established, pioneered that church. And over that period of time, they were able, through themselves and their team, to lead over 5,000 Muslims to Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? Amen. 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 And then later on, they had headquarters in Beirut, Lebanon, for their ministry, establishing Bible schools and raising up leaders and in other places as well. And they continued to go on. You know, 1040, Club 1040 is the name of their ministry. And the reason why is because there's that window of the globe called the 1040 window, which is, I think it's safe to say, primarily Muslim. Is that safe to say? And so they're carrying the gospel into the battlefield, if you will. I mean, they are on the cutting edge of the gospel, taking it to the world that needs this gospel. Amen. And Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Amen. And so let's just give a warm welcome to Matt and Julie Beamer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jay. What a great morning it's been already. We have already been blessed. It's so good to be with you again. It's been, I can't believe, 11 years since we were last here. And we're going to share with you all kinds of amazing things that you have accomplished during that time. It's been a busy time for you, and you probably didn't even know it.
Oh, it's such a blessing to be here, and I'm excited because I get to go be with your kids in just a little bit and share some of the same message with them. We're going to be talking about smuggling the precious Word of God into countries that we've been in. So I'm going to be telling them some stories, and you're going to probably get to talk about it when you get home. So we are Club 1040, and some of you are wondering, what is Club 1040? Well, we're a relational missionary movement reaching the unreached. And you're wondering, Club 1040, and if you'll see that logo right there, it's Club 1040. Club is a group of like-minded people coming around a common purpose and mission. And our mission is that 1040 window. And like Pastor Jay said, it's the 10th parallel and the 40th parallel. You'll see that orange stripe right there across North Africa and the Middle East. And missiologists have taken this window that they boxed it in and called it a window. What does a window do? Let's light in, amen? And this is the area of the world where they say that the least reached people groups of the world are, where people live and die and never meet a person like you that has the name of Jesus. And we get to talk to them on a daily basis, you guys. And they're hungry. Contrary to what you hear on the news, they are so hungry for the gospel. God brings them to us left and right. So we're Club 1040, and we've been married 33 years. We just celebrated last week, so we're celebrating 33 years. And you guys, we have lived and ministered overseas for the last 30 years. We've been living overseas more. I feel more like a foreigner than I do an American. But this is a magazine back there. This year, we're celebrating 30 years. And our daughter has put together a magazine celebrating and showing you what you guys have been busy doing in the last 30 years. And guys, I don't want to...
Plus, there's really funny pictures of us when we were a lot thinner and a lot younger. So you got to check it out just for that alone.
The weight alone is terrible to see. But anyways, please come get those magazines because I do not want to carry them back with me. So there's a lot of magazines, and we'd love for you to see what our daughter has helped us to create. And so this is celebrating 30 years. And like anybody that is on social media, you can see what you guys are doing, that we get to be your representatives, your hands, your feet, your voice. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook, Club 1040. It's one word. And then every first Thursday of the month, wherever we are in the world, sometimes we have to be really super security sensitive because we can't say some things, but we try to go online and tell you at 8 a.m. your time. And it's first Thursdays, and we do questions and answers. So we try to make it really interactive.
Yep. So how are we reaching the unreached? And I say we, I mean you, together with Club 1040. We are your vehicle for reaching the unreached. And so how do we do that? Three ways: trained, mobilized, and inspired. Training local leaders to be church planters, and not just plant a church, but spark indigenous church planting movements. And then mobilize primarily near culture missionaries, not so much expat missionaries, people come in cross-cultural, but near culture. So that means, for example, through the Bible colleges, raising up leaders in places like Lebanon and Egypt that can go into countries throughout the Middle East and North Africa that we with American passports struggle to go to, even though we still go to the places that we probably shouldn't go to so much. And then we also get to do what we're doing this morning, and that is inspire the global church that we can fulfill this great commission in this generation. And one of the ways we love to inspire the church is inspiring the children.
Yeah. You know, this great commission is not just for us adults. We get the kids involved from an early age, and we love to do that through the books. God put it on my heart. I was working at an international school in Abuja, Nigeria, and I got to meet, you know, at this school, ambassadors' children, embassy children, and these children were being raised to be the next global leaders, you guys. And they could, some of them could speak up to five languages already, and they were little. And I was like, Lord, how can I equip our Christian children to be global leaders? And so the Lord gave me an idea, and I created these books. They're not just inspirational, but they're educational. So we go into the countries, we learn about missions is the best way to teach your kids, especially you homeschool moms and grandparents. But you can teach about geography, you can teach about currency, you can teach about languages. And one of my favorite things is learning how to meet different cultures. And I know that's a big hot topic in what you guys have been doing all this last year. I just celebrate what you guys have been doing, but how to meet and tell people about Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking about how we went into China and smuggled Bibles and how precious our Bible is. So we're going to be talking about this book. And so that's,
there's other books,
yeah. England, Egypt, Nigeria, and China.
Yeah, and so those are tools to help you, you know, basically send your children around the world from their bedroom so they can visit the world and experience the world so that we can raise our children to be global leaders. We're passionate about that. We need a generation of American Christian kids that understand the global world we live in, because it is a global world, and if we don't expose our kids to that world from a Christian perspective, the world exposes it from a secular perspective. And so as she mentioned, when she was in that school, all these kids, these ambassadors, kids, they're all from a liberal background. They weren't believers. They weren't Christians. And then we talk to our own children, and many of them don't understand the global world we live in. So let's change that. And these are tools to put into your hand to do that. But not only that, but as you partner with this church through your tithes and offerings, and this church supports Club 1040, one of the things you're doing is inspiring thousands of children. Around 18,000 children have partaken of these books since they've come out. And not only that, but then also we go to different places. Like, she's going to be in the kids' church now, but then she also has established a children's curriculum.
Yeah, and the curriculum is just a 4-week missions curriculum. And I want to encourage you homeschoolers. I know summer's getting ready. I don't know whether your school has already dismissed, but these this is a program where you can do it with your homeschoolers or VBS or just in your daily devotionals. And anybody that is wanting to do things with their children this summer, if you'll come by my table, I'll send you an email with some free downloadables as well, so that you can keep your kids involved and get this mission's heart in your children.
All right. Thank you.
One more thing. I have a goal. You guys are going to laugh. My goal is to be on every refrigerator in America. So please come by and get a prayer card. And just as you go by, and I'm going to stick one in your prayer box, just to remember to pray, and that, you know, as we're going on your behalf, that you just keep us praying in the areas that we're going in. And I know Matt will tell you some kind of exciting stories of what's happened in this last year. So I'm excited to go tell your children. Be ready for lots of stories this morning, you guys. You'll have to answer what they're going to ask.
And then come back and visit Julie at the table at the back with the children as well. And she loves to take pictures of the children with the books and things like that. So if you're wondering how you can connect to and what we're believing for together, and I say we, every time I say we, I mean all of us together, we're believing for as we celebrate 30 years, we're believing God for 30 new organizational partners. 7 so far have come in this year. What we mean is foundations, businesses, churches, and then also 300 individual families to partner to enable and empower us to move towards a 2030 vision of seeing what's happened. I'll show you in a minute. Happened in Egypt and Lebanon, these places happen all across the region. If you ever want to know how to help other people do that, you already do that through the church here. But if you want to help us spread the word and connect people that might be interested, then you just simply go. This is a screenshot from our website from this morning. So that's what you see when you go on the website, club1040.com. And then if you just click on that where it says 300, this little page comes up. You learn more and you can see that I think 23 individual families have connected already this year. We're believing for that to be 300. This is the first of several weeks that we'll be going across churches like this across the state. So as you pray, stand with us together that by the time we go back to the Middle East, where we're going back to, that all of those support raising goals will be taken care of. We're visiting 30 churches to celebrate 30 years, to see 30 organizations and 300 individuals connect in a way to empower us for a 2030 vision. Can I add any more 30s to that? I tried my best. All right. So let me tell you about someone's life that you just transformed. Here's Rafi. Everybody say Rafi. Rafi was a rascal. He's a taxi driver. My wife says that she thinks that if Jesus came today, he would go to the Uber drivers, not necessarily to the fishermen. And he was a taxi driver in Beirut, Lebanon. He was a rascal. He had been disowned from his own personal family. He was estranged with them. His community didn't trust him. He was in debt. There was all kinds of problems. No one trusted who he was. But Rafi became a taxi driver for us because he spoke enough English for us to be able to get around. And then Rafi eventually came to faith through seeing somebody healed. And he says, I'm going to be the first part of the launch team for the church that you started in Beirut, Lebanon in 2022. So April 2022, a church launched with 337 people. The majority of them were from non-faith background, in other words, Muslim background. And we know at least 85 people came to faith on that launch Sunday. And the church, then within the first year, that church was turned over. So who wanted to be the first person that was baptized at our water baptism? Rafi, absolutely. And then when we turned the church over at the one-year anniversary to American couple and 3 Lebanese couples, Rafi and Patricia, Rafi thought he'd never get married again. He met a girl, a woman in church who had never been married, and they got married, and then they became one of the lead couples of this church. So you have radically changed his life, but it goes further than that. Not only that, but then his wife, mother, had a cafe that, if you remember the August 2020 blast that destroyed the port of Beirut, Lebanon, around 300,000 people were instantly made homeless, 80,000 children, schools and hospitals all destroyed within a moment's time. Well, one of those businesses that were destroyed was this cafe. It was actually a little shop, and it was Patricia's mother's shop. And Rafi was helping us. Your support helped to rebuild 60 businesses and homes, as well as 8 different churches. And so one of those places was that. That's how Rafi and Patricia met originally. And she started being a part of the church and things like that because we just were about to launch the church. Well, anyway, they have now turned that into a coffee shop that is a cafe to reach out on a regular basis. Not only that, so you're changing Rafi the rascal into Rafi the righteous through your support here. And then he has helped to launch a church and become one of the lead leaders of that church. But then also he personally is using his business to reach out to his community where there isn't a Christian witness. And then on October 7th, does everybody know what happened on October 7th? That's right. How did you know that the Bible College in Beirut, Lebanon was launched on October 7th? That's not what you were thinking about? What were you thinking about? Oh, yeah, war broke out between Hamas and Gaza and Israel on October 7th. The same day that happened, the Bible College in Beirut, Lebanon. And guess who was in the Bible College? It was Rafi and Patricia and about 20 some other people from the church that you had launched, as well as 12 other churches represented throughout the country. And they have been continuing in their training, even in the midst of war. And the very next day on the 8th, Hezbollah, who's based in Lebanon, started shooting missiles in to support Hamas's attempt to try to attack Israel. And so that Bible college, we were told by the State Department and everybody to leave the country, but we prayed about it. Rafi can't leave, Patricia can't leave, we won't leave either. So we continued. I think there's only one weekend in all the training that we actually had to delay it. And so you see a little bit about where Beirut, Lebanon's about the size of New Jersey, so it's a very small country. About 5 million people live there, and it's only about 60, 70 miles from the capital of Beirut to the border where the majority of all the missiles and things fired. You can see all those blue and orange circles represent, some of them, thousands and thousands of homes destroyed. Bible College continued. And the reason I include this picture is it continued all the way through to September, when there was a real paradigm shift in the whole conflict between Israel and Lebanon. And that was, this session happened on September 13th, and we were praying into this conflict situation. We have prayer school within the Bible College, and we teach on prayer, and we pray things out, and there were words spoken out about the very thing that happened the very next few days. And that is, if you remember, the operation, this is funny if you didn't know this, Operation Grim Pager. Grim Beeper, Operation Grim Beeper. It was the operation by the Israeli intelligence services they interjected within the supply chain. That's not the word I was looking for, but it will work. They were able to connect with the supply chain of the pagers that were sent to Hezbollah, about 3,000 of them, put little explosives in it. So then in a moment's time, they were able to detonate all of those pagers all throughout the country. And the way they did it is the pager buzzed, and it was like, you have a message from Nasrallah, the spiritual leader of Hezbollah. You have a message from him, and they were to push two buttons. And so they were looking at it and the message. And so it took off their fingers. It blinded a lot of them. But the interesting thing about that, it's a horrible thing, of course, but the interesting thing about that is Hezbollah was the main threat to Israel with over 100,000 ballistic missiles, and their missiles were far more accurate than the ones from Hezbollah in Gaza. And so, Hamas in Gaza. So Israel and the world was really concerned about what if Hezbollah really shoots? They knew that if they shot enough missiles in succession, that they would overwhelm the defense, the Iron Dome and the different defenses that Israel had. And so that was a huge thing, because that completely undermined, it was a pivot point. And then the very next day, the walkie-talkies, there was 18,000 walkie-talkies. Then they started aerial bombing inside Lebanon for the very first time. And this is just next to where we live there. They started taking out southern Beirut. A reason I like to include this picture is because if you can see up there, those are men, full-grown men. And that's how deep that hole is. And Nasrallah, who was the spiritual and military leader for decades of Hezbollah, he and a number of his colleagues were taken out. With the Israeli Air Force dropped 80 bunker-busting bombs. All, it was like popcorn. Boom, 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 boom. Those bombs go down several, like 30 feet before they explode, and then they go down 30 feet. They just keep going down. Because he was about, I've heard different things, 7 stories or 10 stories below ground in a concrete bunker that he was hiding there, and they took him out there. And that was the pivot point. I think that was the 17th of September, the 19th of September, and that's what it looked like there. And this shows you, this is where the Bible College, that picture I showed you, where it was launched and where it functioned, and this is 2 miles, you see on the little thing there, that's just 2 miles away where all of this happened with those pictures I'm showing you. Now, if you go on the bigger map and you go from across the country to the other side where Syria is, and we've heard Syria has been in the news, if you've heard that, because the Assad, who'd been the ruler and dictator of Syria for many decades, he was disposed. and a new leader's in place, a new leader that's trying to, he says, is trying to moderate Syria and come in alignment with international thinking. That was interesting. Okay, so anyway, so graduation, they finished this. The Bible College continued through, and they actually finished. That's the shining faces of the people that you helped to train for the first year. Now they're in second level, though. This is in November. And in November, we turned the Bible College over. So you made that happen. That's one example of many examples I could show you of the impact you have. Whenever you come to this church and you serve in the different volunteer areas that are mentioned, you are giving of your time, your talents, your resources into this church. And this church and others like it around the world are contributing to Club 1040. Club 1040 helps to establish a church and a Bible college because of your serving here. We can do our part there. So what I like to say is, please do your part here so that we can do our part there, so Rafis and Patricias all across the Middle East and Africa can be reached. That's how God does it. And so that's what this morning's message is all about. And what are the first two letters of the word God spell? Exactly. One person said there's a whole lot of go in God. Another person said two-thirds of God is about going. I like to say this, is if you had to put a title on this message, that you are the go in God. God in you, and you are the go in God, makes God's mission accomplished. And so that's what we're talking about today as we share just a few verses. So Romans chapter 15 and verse 20 says this, the Apostle Paul, he says, so I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Another version of this says, not where Christ's name has already been known. So the Apostle Paul, he understood where the gospel had been preached and where it had not been preached in his day. And then he prioritized himself according to that. He's like, he says it actually earlier in the chapter. He says this. He says, the reason I have not come to you believers in Rome up till now, and I've been hindered, King James says, I've been hindered. It wasn't because the devil hindered him. His priorities hindered him. His calling hindered him. He said, I have been hindered from coming to you up to this point because my aim, my ambition, my goal is to preach the gospel where Christ is not named. But then here's a really cool thing he goes on to say. However, now that the gospel has been fully preached from Jerusalem and all the region round about through to Illyricum, and having no more else to preach in these parts, now I can come to you Christians at Rome. And in his day, we see many passages through Scripture where the early church was getting closer and closer to bringing completion to the Great Commission in their generation. But do you know what happened? The church began to get away from the foundational principles, and they started eventually arguing amongst themselves about doctrines. They stopped praying like they used to. They started looking at the power and politics and different things like that, and they put that ahead of the gospel. They took their eyes off of the harvest field, and they put it onto other things. And as a result, the church went into the dark ages for about 1,200, 1,500 years. And then God had to awaken and reform the church. And then eventually missions became another component of the outreach of the church from the 1800s and onwards, late 1700s, early 1800s, mid 1800s, late 1800s. So really, it's only been in the last couple hundred years that the church of Jesus Christ has really been pushing forward with this gospel. And in these last days, we have made tremendous progress, everyone. We are getting close. I like to say we're on the knife edge of the completion of the Great Commission. We are getting closer and closer. And I like to learn from people who have finished. Paul was a finisher. The Bible says three people finished that we know finished. Who are they? Jesus on the cross, it is finished. John the Baptist was said of him that he finished. Paul said he also finished his call, his purpose, his race. And one of the things that Paul had about him was this. He had a faith for finishing that was seared by the Scripture, that was based in Scripture. He used the Word of God to found his faith concerning the finish line. And he says this, he says, "I base my life on this Scripture." Those who have never been told of him, his faith statement is, they'll see him. Those who have never heard of him, his faith statement, they'll get the message. They'll hear this message. And so we know that God is a faith God. We are faith people. And so we look at the harvest and we look at the places that look like it's impossible. And we say, those things can change. And they are changing before our very eyes. It's incredible what's happening. So three observations from the Apostle Paul. One is, Paul knew the progress of his gospel, of the gospel in his day. Secondly, he prioritized his life and ministry accordingly. And then third, he was a finisher. So my question to us is, maybe in this day of the church that we live, we are the only generation that can reach this generation. So we can complete the generation, the gospel in our generation, by the way. There's more than 20 times the necessary resources to get the job done within the hands of believers today. We can do it, not just once, not twice, not 5 or 10 or 15 times, but more than 20 times over, we have the ability to do it. We can do it if we want to. We can if we want to. So what's our want to? How do we do that? We understand the progress of the gospel, then we prioritize ourselves along those lines. And one of the things I like to get into the hearts of us as a church is we have more impact on this than we realize. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. You remember where he talks about, he says, a day in the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. And he says, why has God had long patience? He says, he has long patience for the church. Why has he had long patience for the church? Not wanting anyone to perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. So when he says, a day in the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day, he's not necessarily talking about the fact that God's time is not like our time, though that is true. But he's actually using that to explain the fact that he has long patience for the church. He's using that to quantify how patient he is with us as the church. And then he goes on to say, because that's true, how should we be as believers? The fact that he is going to come back and he has long patience for us to complete this gospel, how should we be as believers? Well, he says, first of all, what kind of people ought you to be? Most of us see this first part as just obvious. You ought to live holy and godly lives. Yeah, that's what Christians are supposed to do. We know that part. But that's not the only thing he says. He says we ought to be godly and live holy lives, but with a focus, with a vision, with an aim, with an ambition, just like the Apostle Paul. He says, as you look forward. So it's not just live godly and holy lives and then that's it. You live godly and holy lives with a forward focus of the harvest. And whenever we get our eyes, just like the early church, off of the harvest, we get into the dark places and the dark ages. But when we keep our eyes on the harvest and look forward to that, and then he says this, and oh, by the way, not only should you look forward to this thing, he says, you can actually contribute to how fast it comes about. King James says, hasten the coming of the Lord. And in other translations, like the NIV here, says, speed its coming. The Greek word there, and I'm not a Greek expert, but and I don't pretend to be able to pronounce this word like it should be pronounced in Greek, but the one I read, the transliteration of the Greek word, it looks to me like spiedo. Spiedo. What does that image conjure up in your mind? Especially if I say something, sports speedo. What do you think? Fast, maybe? Speedo, the brand of bathing suits that only Olympians should wear, by the way. Why do Olympians shave the hair off their body and wear those kind of swimsuits? Someone said there's less drag, to remove the drag. They go faster, that's the result, but why do they go faster? They remove the drag. There's less resistance. So what is he saying to the church? In the last days, yes, Jesus will come. He promised he's coming. There will be scoffers that will say, where is this coming he promised? He says, look, the reason he's not come is because he has long patience for the church. Why is that? Because he wants none to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he has long patience for the harvest. And then he says, oh, by the way, we should live holy and godly lives with a focus on harvest and do our part to remove the drag off of the gospel. So I remember one time I was in Amsterdam Airport, in Schiphol Airport. And you know how they have those announcements when people are late for their planes? And I'm fascinated by different cultures and how they translate into English. And it kind of exposes a little bit of the difference of cultural differences. And I'm Beamer, is my last name. So I come from German background. And so I pay a little more attention to the Germanic languages, you know, like in the Netherlands, the Dutch, etc. Kind of has that root. Where in England, they always use far more words than is necessary to say something. We lived in England for about 14 years. So if a person was late for the plane there, they might say, would Mr. So-and-so please make their way kindly to gate so-and-so. Your plane is beginning to think about disembarking. But this came over the loudspeaker, and I loved it. It was an English translation of the Dutch, and it said, thankfully it wasn't about me. Mr. So-and-so, you are delaying the plane. And I'm like, that is... firstly, hilarious, because it is so Dutch. But secondly, I was meditating on this verse as I was thinking about this, and I thought how wonderful it would be, and scary as well, that if there was an archangel in heaven, that, you know, we know God's eyes go to and fro looking for someone on whom he can show himself strong on their behalf. We know at times God bellowed out, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So who knows? Maybe it could happen. I don't know. But it would be pretty cool if there was an archangel that looked across the earth and said, Mr. So-and-so, you are delaying the return of Jesus. Stop it. Well, how do you do that? You do that. How do you delay it? You delay it by not bringing of your time, your talents, your resources to the local house. I'm a missionary that will say something you probably won't hear from anyone else who's a missionary, but the number one way to support missionaries is not prayer. The number one way to support missionaries is not giving financially to a missionary. The number one way to support a missionary is by giving to the local church. Bringing your time, bringing your talents, bringing your resources. That is God's plan for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. When you do your part in the local house, this local house will have a full supply and be able to do what it's supposed to do, connecting with people like Julie and I in Clubton 40 overseas. And pardon me, if we can do that all across the world where, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in most churches. The average American tithe rate now is somewhere around 6% of Americans tithing. That means 94% don't tithe. I know this church is different because you're well taught, but think about that. Look what we do with so few in the body of Christ who are evangelical believers tithing, bringing 10%. Can you imagine if we had that number at 20, 30, 40%? Look at all the buildings that are built and the television, the ministry, and all those things. We can fulfill the Great Commission in our generation if we want to. So we can speed the return of the Lord. We can speed it up. Another way we can speed it, prayer is vitally important. I'm not discounting prayer. There's been times I've been going through checkpoints and then someone writes me and said, what were you doing at this time? I was awoken at night to pray for you. And it was right when I was going through a security sensitive situation. And I thank God for people that will pray things through like that. So one of the ways to speed things up, biblically speaking, is to pray for us that the message of the Lord would spread rapidly and be honored just as it has been with you. Amplified says this, to speed on, spread rapidly, and run its course. As you pray for Clubton 40, as you pray for the word to spread across the Middle East, North Africa, the MENA region, pray along the line, this line. Another way to speed the gospel is through Bible colleges, training leaders. Pardon me. Paul said this in Acts chapter 19. He says, there were daily disputing of the, disputing daily the scriptures in the school of the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. And in 2 years, it says, because of that, all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. One man, one Bible school, 2 years, all of that part of what is modern day Turkey today heard the gospel. And it's, you know, then we see later with the book of Revelation, with the seven churches in the book of Revelation, one of which is the church at Ephesus, which is where Paul was talking about right now. It's very likely that Paul never went to any of those other places in the book of Revelation, but it's also very likely that they were church plants that came out of that Bible college. I call it a Bible college. Those 2 years of disputing the Word of God daily in the School of Tyrannus. It's just a regular school, and they use that facility. And so he kind of had a daily Bible school there. And within 2 years, all these church plants happened. So one of the things I tell our graduates is this, is we, you know, Bible colleges speed the progress, but churches is the goal. Planting churches. Churches cause generational change. Churches are God's plan for reaching the world. And so if we do Bible colleges that give people knowledge but don't result in church planting, we're missing the mark. And so that's what you are contributing to. You are, as you pray for Club 1040, you are speeding the word on. As you contribute with your time and talent and resources here, you are speeding the gospel. Then also, you help us to establish Bible colleges. And I'm going to show you how this can happen so quickly. This is the progress of the gospel in the world today. The red represents that part of the world that's least reached, unreached, that 1040 window, which is based off, this is a visual, a graphic visual, a colorful visual of 17,000 people groups in the world. And that's what it looks like across the Middle East, North Africa, where you focus on through Club 1040. And that's the 1040 window there. And you can see that there's Hindus and Muslims are the major, major parts of that. But here's a scripture I want you to see. Habakkuk 2:14 says, and I like this version of it, and I asked our designer to take that. So I show you this map, and then I show you this map, and I asked our designer, I said, make me a water world where the glory of God focuses on the Middle East, North Africa, and that 1040 window part. Because the scripture says, the earth will be filled with the knowing of the Lord's shining greatness, as the waters cover the sea. So question, how much does water cover sea? So there is a generation where that's going to happen. Why not ours? If we can contribute to the speed of it, or if we can put drag on it and slow it down, we have a part to play. So my challenge to us as a generational church is this. You know, God is going to come back, but he has set himself to come back when we do our part first. So we're saying, come Lord, come Lord. He's saying, go church, go church. You're the go in God. And how do you go the furthest? You go locally by bringing of your time, your talents, your resources to the local church. So my challenge to you as we finish this morning is this. Is if you have knowledge that this is the house that God has called you to connect with, and maybe, especially since the pandemic, things have changed a lot since the pandemic, but maybe you disconnected in your service, maybe you disconnected in your giving, this is a challenge, a clarion call to you to say that because of the fact that some of us are holding back, we're not able to do the fullness of what we're supposed to do right now. But if we bring all that we're supposed to bring, our time, our talents, and I like to say your thoughts and your tongue, what you say, speaking over the local church and what the Word of God, what you hear your pastor say, you say out loud as well. You come into agreement with those things. You allow the Word of God to renew your mind and you say those things concerning the local church and the vision of the local house. If we do that part together, I am convinced that we will be the generation that brings about the return of Jesus because we complete the Great Commission in our generation. We can get the job done. And this is an example. This is Nigeria that you helped to start a Bible college there. We started with 80 students. When we turned it over 10 years later, it had 1,200 students. Now it has 8,000 students and 9 campuses. You made that happen. Not only that, but these students understand reaching unreached people groups. So what do? They've been activated towards unreached people groups and adopting these groups and start church plants in places where there have never been churches in known history. And then they see these churches go from bush churches to established churches. And you know how you have the first church here and the first church there and the first church here? You are starting the first church amongst a people group, just like those first churches were the first churches that someone started here. You are doing that all over Islamic North Africa. I want to pray for you as we bring the service to completion. And I want to say thank you to Pastors Jay and Pam and for you as a congregation for all you do. You doing your part here enables us to do our part there. And we are seeing a rapid speeding with you. We can go further and we can go faster. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege to be representatives of this congregation. And we thank you, Father, that as we go, they go. They are the go in you, Father. And I pray that if there's anyone here that has drawn back, placed a little drag on the purpose of this local family, that you would speak to them and inspire them to say, no, let's wake ourselves up. Let's come to ourselves and say, wait, that's not the way we are. That's not who we are. And they would revitalize that connection. Father, for those that have been serving faithfully and are so vitally connected, I pray that they would do it with a greater impetus. They would know that as they serve, whether it's the food or the coffee or things they think is just not really that important, they would realize that as they give of their time, they give of their resources, they give of their talents, that, Father, they would realize that they are making an impact in places like touching people's lives like Rafi and Patricia and others all across the Middle East and North Africa. And as we As a club, a group of like-minded people, as we come together around the common purpose of mission of seeing this same thing happen all across the Middle East and North Africa, as we koinonia together, covenant together along those lines, Father, I pray that the understanding of the internal realities of what they are accomplishing through this church and through Club 1040 would be marked on every person's mind and heart, and that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jay.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, man. We need to have a fire for the gospel. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's all be in a reverential attitude, kind of in an attitude of prayer right now in Jesus' name. And you know, we never want to end a service without giving this opportunity, and because it's the most important thing, because, you know, people have an eternal future, and that eternal future can either be heaven or hell. And the Bible doesn't teach anywhere of any in-between. There's no such thing as purgatory or limbo, but a decision needs to be made on this side of heaven, this side of hell, whether or not you're going to receive Christ and where your destiny is going to be. And so we encourage you today. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because everyone has sinned, that means everyone deserves punishment and judgment from God. But the Bible also says that there's a gift called eternal life that everyone can receive if they receive what Jesus has done. Jesus, the sinless one, bore your sin and my sin, bore the penalty, the judgment that you deserved and I deserved, so that if we will receive what he has done for us, we can be forgiven and washed and cleansed and put in right standing with Almighty God by receiving what Jesus did. The sinless one died for the sinful, and the sinful include you and me. And thank God for the love of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, everybody in an attitude of reverence toward God, if you're here today, don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow could be too late. If you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to breathe your last breath, if your heart would stop today, if you're not sure you're right with God, if you're not sure that you're forgiven of your sin, you can be sure, because the Bible says it's not based on works which we have done, but it's based on the work that Jesus did. And we put faith in his grace and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with a God who's alive and changes lives. And so if that describes your situation, if you are not certain that if you were to breathe your last breath, if you'd be in God's presence, if you're forgiven of your sin, I want to give you an opportunity to know that. If you would just lift your hand up high so God can see it, the most important one. I'm not going to make you come up, but we're all going to pray together. I see one hand. Anybody else? We'll have enough courage. I see a couple of hands right now. Anybody else? Enough courage to say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. All right. We're going to pray this prayer together. This prayer is based on Romans 10, 9, and 10, which says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, with a heart that believes that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so if you believe this prayer, let's pray together. And for those that watch YouTube later next week, they can pray this prayer. We pray that they will. Let's pray this prayer all together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for me. He took the judgment, the punishment that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I confess and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he rose again and he's alive. So Lord Jesus, come into my life today. I turn from sin and I turn to you. Take my life and make it what you will. And from this day forward, with your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let me just say that if you prayed that prayer, I cannot promise you that you now are in right standing with God, because I don't know if it was really in your heart. You can pray a prayer, but it not be in your heart. But if it was in your heart and you meant what you just prayed, the Bible says you've been born from above, that now there's been a change made on the inside of you, that now you're a new creation. And so it's so important that now you continue to grow and learn the Word of God and become established in that. Get your mind renewed. The moment you received Christ, if you truly did and you meant it, that moment you changed on the inside. And now you begin the process of growth and change on the outside. Amen. And it's so important that you do that, because that's part of you staying strong in your faith. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334, or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.